So if God revealed you this morning, to you this morning, that you were in need, or you had to feed 5,000 people for lunch today, what would you think? How would you respond to that? Exactly. You might say, that's impossible. You can't feed 5,000 people. You know, we might as well just send them all to Fargo because we're not going to be able to do that here. Or you might think, well, maybe 500, you know, if we cut the potatoes into fourths, that would feed a tenth of them, and at least somebody'd get something, and maybe that's good enough. Or maybe we would say, okay, God, if that's really what you want to do, then, you know, if you're really going to do this, that's pretty incredible. What should I do? The basis for our sermon series, I believe, that we're doing here is that deep down, each of us wants to know and do the will of God. We really truly desire to be at work where God is at work. But in order to do that, we each need to personally experience God in our lives. And we need that kind of, to be struck with that speechless awe, you know, and knowing and understanding that God is at work in our midst. So when we encounter God, we experience God, just the way the disciples experienced God in Christ. So as we go through this series, we're trying to keep pace with the small groups that are meeting and the study by Henry Blackaby. And so as a way of kind of keeping up, I'm just going to review a little bit where we've been in the seven realities of experiencing God. We've talked about three of them, and I want you to fill in the blank as you hear. Maybe you can hold off just one moment. Fill in the blank as we go through these. So the first reality is God is always at work around us. So you can put that one up. God is always at work around us. Secondly, oh, there they are. God desires a personal love relationship with me, and God invites me to be involved with him in his work. And finally, the next reality that we're going to talk about today is God. There you go. This is your part. God speaks. Exactly. Just like you did. God speaks. Wonderful. So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about this reality of how God speaks, so that we know that when God speaks through the Holy Spirit, you know, through the Bible, through prayer, through the church, and through our experiences, that we are very clear that we understand that it is God who is speaking, and also that we actually know what God is calling us to do. On Friday, I drove down to Hutchinson to meet my son-in-law, who is soon going up to Alaska to meet his wife, my daughter. And so I've been there before a couple times, and I've been down to St. Peter a couple times, and so I just took off driving, figuring, you know, I'll get there. And as I was getting about time to arrive, I started looking and pulled out my phone and decided I better look at the Google map and realized that I was 20 minutes too far south. I had overshot my destination. You know, I'd been there before. I figured I knew what I was doing, but I needed to recalculate and work my way back up to the farm. And eventually I did find it and joined up with them. But I think sometimes that's how our method is in hearing from God. We decide what we're going to do, and without clear directions, we just kind of take off. And it seems like a good idea, right? Doing something's always better than nothing, isn't it? Well, maybe not always, when we are trying to work with God or pursuing God. You know, it's not always just about, God, bless my plans, these look good. But what we really truly want to do is to discover, to hear what God's plan is, and then come alongside what God is doing. And here's the first point. It requires a little patience. We have to wait for it. So patience is required in developing this love relationship with God, becoming familiar with God who uniquely communicates with each one of us. You know, God designed us, as we read in that Psalm today, 139. He knows our inmost being. God uniquely communicates with each one of us. So it's our responsibility to develop that relationship well enough so that we know God's voice and we are clear about how God communicates with you and with me. It takes time to get to know God. But when we do, we realize He always gives us directions to participate in what He is about to do. You know, we read this in Abraham, or Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham is called to go where God calls him. Let me read it. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you.'" So in other words, God told Abraham to go, and Abraham went. Now, how many of you, if God said, "Hey, go," would take off? It kind of sounds like my trip down to see my son-in-law, you know, go. I didn't know where I was going. But God has a way of revealing just enough so that we can get started, just enough so we know where to follow. We know to get started and get going. And so, but God doesn't just leave us there. He continues to reveal enough along the way so that we know where to go. God reveals enough for us right now. You know, if we feel like we're just not sure, we're not hearing from God, maybe we're just called to step back, to pray, to ask God, and to wait on God's guidance. God will reveal His plans to His people. Scripture reveals that over and over again. But when we hear God, then we're called to take a step of action, to step out and follow where God is leading. You know, when Jesus told the disciples to feed the 5,000, their response was kind of like, "How do we do that? What are we supposed to do?" They had no idea. But they did know Jesus enough, I believe, to begin to realize that He was going to do something. And what they needed to do is stick around and be part of it. So how does God reveal Himself in Scripture? Well, God reveals Himself to His people through the Old Testament and through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit today. So in the Old Testament, we have this as the example of Genesis 12, where God spoke to Abraham, and God revealed Himself in the Old Testament in many ways to different people. But the people who heard from God knew it was God, and they knew what God was asking. So in Jesus' day, God spoke through Him. God spoke through Jesus, and His disciples clearly understood that in this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, God was at work. God was working. In the early church, God spoke through the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit went ahead and spoke to a disciple in ahead and told him that he was sending Peter and told him what to say. So the Holy Spirit spoke to God's people in the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit still speaks to us today. So how does God reveal Himself? Well, we're going to talk about how God speaks through the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in prayer, in circumstances, and in the church next week. This week, we're going to talk about what God reveals. What can we expect God to reveal when He communicates with us? I think most of us are tempted to ask God to reveal what He wants me to do for Him. Sometimes God isn't that concerned with what He wants us to do. Sometimes He just wants to reveal Himself to us. And that's our first point. God reveals Himself. One of the upcoming realities that we're going to look at is the crisis of faith. Now that sounds exciting, doesn't it? I think that would be a point where we'd all just as soon avoid that if possible. But it's actually an important reality because it leads us to a deeper understanding of who God is. So we're all called to this childlike faith, but that doesn't mean an ignorant faith. You know, I realize as I look back on my walk with the Lord that that's actually where I was for a time, in a place of ignorant faith. You know, it looked to me something like a kind of name it and claim it kind of gospel, where if you see it in God's word, you claim that promise, and then God has to do it. Well, in other words, God has to do what I want God to do. That's really what it boils down to. So I saw God as a protecting God, and God is, but somewhere along the line I began to believe that God would protect me and my family from the kind of hardships that other people face in their lives because, well, I'm going to say this, it sounds really terrible, but, you know, give me a break. What I'm saying is this was an ignorant faith that God was going to do that for me because I was following Jesus the way I was supposed to. Sounds pretty smart, doesn't it? Well, understood that, there's a problem in that. God was going to keep me safe and protected from the struggles of life because that's what I was claiming for us. So I'm telling you this because I didn't really know God as well as I thought I did. But God did reveal some things to me in those years that were very important, very formational. One of them was what I would call a life verse in Joshua 1:9. It says this, "Be determined and confident. Do not be discouraged or afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, this was like formational for me. For whatever reason, God, you know, really, really held this verse deep in my heart. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So why was it important for God to reveal himself as the one who is with me? Does anyone see any problem with my view of God that way? You know, if God's going to protect me from all of life's troubles. The problem is, how do I deal with life's hardship and loss if I don't believe it's going to happen to me? Well, I was wrong. Life does have hardship. Life is full of loss, even for faithful followers of Him, even for those who think they're faithful followers of Him. But what God did share with me is that in the midst of those troubles, in the midst of those difficulties, God is there. God is with me and always has been and will never abandon me. So God calls us to a childlike faith, which simply means to truly trust in God, but not an ignorant faith. And so we are called to develop this love relationship with God, to truly know Him as God reveals Himself. So God reveals Himself, but also God reveals His purposes. How many of you are planners? By raising of hands, planners are good, aren't they? Yeah, it's good to, okay. How many of you are not planners? By raising of hands. How many of you hate to raise your hands? All right. George was 92 and Jane was 89, and they were all excited because they had decided to get married. So they went for a stroll to make wedding plans, and they came by this drugstore. And so they entered in, and George begins to ask the owner, "We're about to get married. Do you sell heart medication?" "Well, of course," the store owner replies. "Well, how about support hose and help with poor circulation?" "Definitely." "What about medicine for rheumatism, or osteoporosis, and arthritis?" George continues. "All kinds," said the owner with confidence. "How about waterproof furniture covers and Depends?" "Yes, sir." George asks, "Hearing aids and denture supplies and reading glasses?" "Yep." "What about eye drops and sleeping pills and Geritol and Ensure?" "Absolutely." "Do you sell wheelchairs and walkers and canes?" "All kinds and sizes," the owner replies. "But why all these questions?" Well, George smiles proudly and announces, "We'd like your drugstore to be our bridal registry." Our plans, you know, seem to make sense to us, don't they? They really do. But the Holy Spirit reveals to us that our plans are not God's plans. In Proverbs 19:1, we read, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." In other words, whatever we're planning, whatever we have in store, isn't really as important as what God is planning to do. You know, if you're a planner, you might identify with the gospel story in the account of John. One of the disciples, when they're asked to feed these 5,000, they do all these calculations in their head, and they come up with this, that it would take a year's wages to feed all these people just one bite. In other words, that little piece the kids were talking about. And so he's planning, he's thinking, trying to figure this out. You know, and if the disciples set out to do that, you know, go out, buy all this food and start dividing it up, they would really miss what Jesus was about to do. See, God's plan was to reveal himself through this feeding of the 5,000. And the disciples didn't need to go out and buy and do all these things. What they needed to do is understand what Jesus was about to do and then participate. Again, their role was pretty simple, wasn't it? To go and hand out the food. God multiplied it. God provided. They were just called to participate so that everyone could share in what God was doing. So for you and I, those plans are important. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets." Plans are good to a point. But more important than our plans is relying on God and what he is about to do. Following service, we're going to have a baked potato fundraiser, and we're going to have a ministry video sharing what has been happening in ministry in the last 3 months. It's a great video. I encourage you to have a potato, stick around, watch the video. And after that, we're inviting you to stay for a conversation. We call it a roundtable discussion, but we want to talk about what God has been doing in our midst and ask the questions about fruitful next steps in ministry. Because as we're talking, you know, we can make plans, but if we're not in line with what God's plans are, it's not really going to matter. And I believe that God works through us together as the church, and that God reveals his plans to his people. Scripture teaches us that. And so together, as we ask these questions, as we listen to God, we will discover God's plan, or God will reveal his plan that we can follow him. So God reveals his purposes and God reveals his ways. Have any of you got this figured out? How would we feed 5,000 people for lunch today? And maybe the mathematicians have been sitting thinking, I can do this, I can do this. Anybody got that plan? Well, the disciples decided the best way would be to send them all home, but that wasn't Jesus' way. He said, they don't need to go away, you give them something to eat. This is that crisis of faith moment that we'll talk about. This is that jaw-dropping, okay? Have you ever experienced that with God? I hope so. Because our jaws should drop when we encounter God. When we discover God's plans, we should be going, because there's no human way possible to accomplish it. And that's the point. God's purposes are accomplished in God's ways. Isaiah 55:8 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." God wants to encounter his people, to build that relationship with each one of us, that we might depend wholly and completely on God's plan, God's purpose, and God's way. Let me read this passage one more time, starting in verse 17. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. God's ways are not our ways. Henry Blackaby makes this statement, and I think it's critically important for us, and I'm just going to read what he says. He says that when God accomplishes his purposes in his ways through us, people will come to know God. They will recognize that what has happened can be explained only by God. he will receive all the glory. So we must learn to do God's work God's way. And so here's the last piece. And if you're a DC student, a confirmation student, and you have those notes at the bottom of the page, it says, how will I apply in my life what I've heard today? Well, this is, I'm just going to share a little bit of a personal struggle that I identified with in this study that Henry Blackaby spoke about. When I want to decide if God's really speaking and if God's leading, then I want to go out and ask other people, what did God say? What does this sound like God? You know, is this God's leading, or did I eat too much pizza the night before? You know, what am I hearing? You know, I've been taught to be very clear and to get confirmation, and I think that's important. But at the end of the day, each of us needs to understand that the one we need to know is God. The one we need to go to find out what God is saying is God himself. That developing that relationship will allow us to hear God and participate in his life. The council met this week, and we talked about some things, and one of the council persons made the comment that, you know, sometimes we're pretty good at kicking the can down the road, meaning that, you know, we maybe hear God and we maybe realize we're supposed to act, but we're not quite there, not quite ready to do it, so we just pass it on. And we don't have to deal with it till a little later until, oops, it comes up again. So we kick it under the pew. You can leave it there. That's okay. All right. And we just continue to kick the can down the road a little bit. But you see, the time to respond to God's action and activity is the moment that we hear from God. Like Abraham, go. To respond in obedience to whatever it is that God has revealed. And trust that God will reveal next steps as we need to know. Luke 8:18 says, Jesus shared a parable. He said, be careful how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. In other words, what Jesus is saying, an immediate response is required. The time to act is when we hear from God. So here's what I want to invite you to do. Just take a moment. If you have a pencil, great. Write down maybe something that you think you heard in this message today or in our time of worship together that you feel God was revealing to you. Or maybe there's some particular way that you really feel God spoke to you in this service. And if you don't have a pencil, you maybe have a cell phone, you can take it out and, you know, write a little note to yourself, or lean over to the person next to you and whisper to them what you feel maybe God is revealing. So we're going to take a moment for this. So just consider that. Think about that. Think about what it is God is revealing to you in these days. Hopefully you had a word or two or a thought or something that would help you to remember to think. And now we have to decide. Are we willing to act on what God has revealed? And here's the thing. If we don't act, if we put it off, if we put off what we sense the Holy Spirit is leading, if we kick the can down the road a little farther, you and I just may end up no longer hearing from the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe that's what any of us desires, what any of us wants. And so if we are truly about knowing and doing the will of God, which I believe we are, that if we trust that God is with us in our very lives and calling us, then I want to invite us to respond today, to respond immediately to what God is revealing and trust in his next step.